This is Ana Carmo with UN News. The greatest threat to the traditional way of life across the Pacific region is climate change, says Simona Marinesco, UN resident coordinator for the 28 islands that make up Samoa, Cook Islands, Niue and Tokelau. In an interview with UN News, ahead of UN Secretary-General António Guterres' visit to the region this weekend, she says it's vital to make sure that funding continues to help mitigate the worst effects of global warming, while also ensuring sustainable development. Paulina Greer spoke to Ms. Marinesco on a recent visit to UN headquarters in New York.
So among the four countries, the four nations I cover, I also oversee the development of Tokelau. Tokelau, as I mentioned, mm-hmm. is a small nation in the Pacific that covers 1,400 inhabitants, distributed across three atolls, small atolls that are very far apart from each other.
And atolls are like islands?
Atolls are very, very low level islands, and the only access to Tokelau is one boat that travels from Samoa to each of the three atolls, to Fakaofu, Nukunonu, and Atafu. To reach the first atoll is a 24 to 26 hour boat ride, and then another 9 hours would be necessary to move forward to the second and to the third atoll. From the third atoll, returning to Samoa is literally a 50-hour straight trip off the boat. So there is just one boat connecting this nation with the rest of the world, and primarily with Samoa as the first stop. And we run UN missions to Tokelau, so the my first one was last April, and we are preparing another one right now, in which I had 12 representatives of UN agencies traveling to Tokelau by this boat that is called Mataliki. It's a 60-passenger boat, so it's a very small boat that braves the very wild Pacific to get to those atolls. Of course, when we speak about resilience, it's difficult to imagine any nation that is more resilient than Tokelau. They live on fishing, obviously, and on some very little farming, taro farming. There is starch and some fruit farming, and obviously pig farming, so they consume a lot of pork, meat. And the very little production, very little export is primarily transferring some fruit to New Zealand. They are a non-self-governing territory of New Zealand, that's how it's called. And with major problems in terms of waste management, for instance, but still the first nation in the Pacific to be 100% powered by solar energy. And that was a project that was supported by the United Nations and also funded by New Zealand. The atolls are extremely exposed to climate change, and one last line of defense is the reef. And this is common to all of the islands in the Pacific. So the reef is practically breaking the power of the water to destroy the shores when such weather events take place. So the health of the reef is honestly a life-saving approach for those islands in the Pacific and for Tokelau in particular. So ensuring that the reef is alive, that there is biodiversity in the reef, is fundamental to the long survival of those nations. So we work a lot on with Global Environment Facility financing on the Reach to Reef, that's the title of our interventions, to again rebuild marine ecosystems and ensuring that they provide food to those nations, but they are also protecting those nations against global warming. The same applies to Samoa and to Niue and to Cook Islands. So that's an area in which we are heavily involved across UN agencies to ensure, again, that marine ecosystems are protected. So we ensure that parts of the year there is no fishing in those areas, and communities are very good in overseeing the marine ecosystem development, restoring, restoration, and the tourism is also protective of the marine ecosystem, as tourism is one of the sources of public revenues in those countries. So we are aware of the fact that some of the developments associated with climate change will continue. In a world of 2 degrees increase in temperature, there should be a lot of investment made in small island states to ensure that, again, they build the walls and they secure their small populations. Financing is not obviously easy. As I mentioned, traditional financing behind development cooperation is not necessarily enough for small island states to be able to survive. So we are trying as much as possible to be more creative. We look into green bonds in the Pacific to support climate adaptation, climate mitigation primarily, so resorting to renewable energy completely. And we also look into attracting more impact investment. Very importantly, on digital transformation as well. Mm-hmm. They are well connected through submarine cables and building digital markets, creating digital entrepreneurship opportunities for people in the Pacific is important. They lack skills, so there is a lot of investment right now in skills, digital skills and digital literacy in the Pacific, realizing that the digital economy can overcome some of the physical distances that those countries are unfortunately dealing with on a permanent basis.
Do you think that that will entice young people to stay on the islands?
Definitely so. So there are a series of challenges that come with, again, isolation and lack of opportunity. So migration continues to be of concern to those islands. Australia and New Zealand, for instance, provide training on-site in those countries to young people so that when they decide to try labor markets in New Zealand and Australia, they would be better prepared to be able to compete. That comes after, you know, learning a series of lessons, because some of the migration of the Pacific ended up in those countries not necessarily being able to secure a job and to secure a good-paying job and to be able to support their families back home. So remittances as a result of high migration represent another important incoming financial flow, revenue flow into those countries. So we are looking into ensuring that young people have skills that are relevant to their own markets, and primarily digital transformation and penetration of technology in those islands would offer job opportunities. So building skills is important, and we think that, yes, digital businesses would allow them to operate from their own islands and secure an income for their families. But again, the skills gap is of concern, and we are prioritizing that in our work moving forward. We also hope that among small island states, there is more transfer of lessons. That's something that the United Nations can broker. And that, again, with the lower transaction costs, we give them access to knowledge. And if I can speak about a project that is very dear to my heart, we look into creating access to knowledge as a public good in the Pacific and in small island states. Mm-hmm. Those countries, because of isolation, not had the opportunity to access cutting-edge research and being able to read scientific journals and being able to read textbooks, if you wish. And that's of a big concern, as we can't imagine any sustainable development if access to knowledge is not possible. So they are trying to do, with hopefully the support of the Doug Hammarskjöld librarians, is to build digital content in the Pacific, digital libraries, that on one hand would digitize what they have, their own research, their maps, their documentaries, their music, their artifacts, understanding that this is a culture that we need to preserve, while also developing a platform of partnerships for them to be able to, again, access journals and research and studies and books and maps of the world.